will likely pay tribute to Johnny Cash at their annual awards ceremony in November. Cash died this morning at a Nashville hospital from complications from diabetes. He was 71. CMA Executive Director Ed Benson says the Man in Black brought a larger audience to the CMA Awards broadcast when he hosted the show in the 1960s.
I don't think the CMA Awards would be where they are in terms of prestige as an event today had it not been for Johnny Cash. So certainly it'll be fitting for us to do some kind of recognition in the show on November 5th.
Cash is nominated for 4 CMA Awards this year. He set a record in 1969 by winning 5 awards in a single night. That record has been matched several times, but never broken.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without cravings, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of 3 herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke Free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke Free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke Free completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
Despite rumors of a historic three-way pact between the United Auto Workers and the Big Three automakers, there's no sign yet of a contract agreement. Rumors were circulating yesterday that an announcement of a contract was imminent and would come as early as last night or this morning. UAW President Ron Gettelfinger is widely thought to want a contract agreement before a big AFL-CIO labor fest being held tomorrow at Ford Field in Detroit. So-called bargain airfares may not be the great deal those in the travel industry make them out to be. U.S. Transportation Department officials say that sometimes carriers, travel agents, and internet sites don't clearly display some of the other costs associated with these promotions. They note that while certain fees and taxes can be listed separately from advertised fares, they still must be easily seen on the ads. The government agency warns that any ticket vendors not clearly conveying that additional taxes and fees applied could face legal action. Nike has reached a $1.5 million settlement in a lawsuit filed by a labor activist in California. Laura Iyama has more.
Labor activists have charged that Nike's athletic footwear and other products are made in sweatshops in developing nations. Nike defends against those charges by making statements and issuing press releases. A San Francisco labor activist had sued Nike for making a false advertising claim when it said it protects labor rights at its overseas factories. The California State Supreme Court upheld that lawsuit. Rather than go to trial, Nike has settled the case. The company will pay $1.5 million to the Fair Labor Association to strengthen monitoring of the workplace and programs for overseas factory workers. Lori Yama, Washington.
Mom, Dad,
someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tough. You got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when. Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
The condition that may have killed actor John Ritter at the age of 54 is known as aortic dissection, or a total blowout of the wall leading to the heart. George Washington University Hospital cardiologist Dr. David Pearl describes what the disorder is.
An aortic dissection is a partial rupture of the aorta. Under certain circumstances, the aorta can just rupture, and usually the patient will just bleed to death right at the point of the rupture.
Dr. Pearl says Ritter could have had the problem a long time without ever knowing it because frequently there are no warnings and no symptoms. Stocks managed to overcome some weak economic news to end the day in positive territory. The Dow Jones posted a gain of 12 points to 94.72. The NASDAQ was up 9 to 18.55. The S&P 500 is up 2 to end the week at 10.19. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Think of your favorite child. Now think of your favorite child again in your car. What can you do to ensure that child will live to become a favorite adult? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Okay, so you want one good reason to get LoJack installed in your car. Well, unfortunately, I can't give you that. But I can give you three. LoJack has a 90% recovery success rate. LoJack has helped recover over 100,000 vehicles worldwide. And LoJack is the only stolen vehicle recovery system used by the police. So if you still want just one good reason to get LoJack, that last one should do quite nicely. To find a dealer near you, visit LoJack.com. And keep it close.
How do you protect your most precious cargo? Safety seats, which reduce infant death risk by 69% and toddler by 47%. Infant seats from birth to 1 year should be installed rear-facing in the back seat. These often convert to front-facing for toddlers under 4 years and 40 pounds. Booster seats are suitable for children 4 to 8, but not until a child is over 80 pounds and 8 years old are regular seat belts proper restraints. Whatever their age, when you think of your favorite children, picture them buckled up, then do it. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. About 7:30 past the hour. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. And welcome, if you're listening, IE America Radio Network and its various affiliated stations, Sirius Satellite 145, RadioPower.org, or the White Rose Society.org, I believe. Dennis Kucinich next hour, so stick around for that. It's going to be fast. About 30 minutes is all his people have allocated to the program tonight. The plan is this will be a first of several appearances. Thank you for the questions that you posted at the special page on my website, MikeMalloy.com, that our webmaster, Mark Marshall, put up there, yesterday? We have more than enough questions to fill up the time allocated by the Kucinich campaign, so thank you very much. What else? 800-TALK-YES is the number. And if you'd like to email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. Christian in Winston-Salem, or Krista? Oh, gosh. Either Christia or Christian in Winston-Salem wrote, "Hi, Mike. I'm listening to Tuesday's show on White Rose this fine Wednesday morning. As a librarian and former stack supervisor, I just have to speak up for the beleaguered bookstore worker. Your listeners might feel good for a moment, but please think of the folks that are going to have to clean up after them." What she's referring to is a suggestion. Who made it? Ben? Somebody made the suggestion. I think it was Ben. About going to the racks and finding the books written by these right-wing snakes and just reversing them, turn the spine around. So the pages, the closed pages show. Okay, that's fair. And I endorsed it, and I said, yeah, let's do it. No matter what you do, somebody's going to suffer, right? Isn't that the truth? From Carl in Minneapolis, he also emailed in. He says, Mike, generally I listen to your program because you are so over the top. However, last night's program, that would be June 24th, last night's, where you said you wanted to be the guy who fixed the coffee for the new EPA chief, pressed even my sense of justice a little too close to the edge, Carl writes. I'm fine with the idea that this little bastard deserves every bit of the torment that he will receive when he arrives in hell, but your innuendo that you would hasten his trip by making his coffee once is a little beyond what I want to encourage. Surely no one wants to be placed in a position where he would be suspect of having encouraged a secretary or anyone to poison someone's coffee. In these times where we have to watch our backs, we want to make sure that even our surrealist references are not misconstrued by the wackos and conservatives. Thanks for your evangelistic liberalism. That's Carl in Minneapolis. Okay, all right. I guess not. You know, they can talk about murdering Clinton. They can talk about killing Hillary. They can talk about... and I'm not taking issue with what Carl wrote, because Carl's right. But let someone like moi make a suggestion in jest. Hey, I'd like to be able to fix his first cup of coffee. What I meant was I just put a little arsenic in it. You know, Bush said there's no problem with arsenic, or I don't know, something, or it was strictly metaphor. But Carl's right. Carl's right. One of the reasons I got in hell, in a lot of hell with ABC Radio, was when I worked at WLS in Chicago, and one night, in an off-the-cuff remark, I said something about Bill Clinton ought to invite Ken Starr out behind the White House. Remember this, Kathy? And I left it at that. You know, Clinton ought to invite Ken Starr out behind the White House and settle it mano a mano. Well, 2 days later, I get called into the general manager's office because some right-wing freak thug Republican jack-legged half-witted moron called ABC Radio Network headquarters in New York and said, do you know Mike Malloy is out here in Chicago advocating violence against the special prosecutor? Right? Huh? Now, we all had a good laugh about it. I don't know if Michael Eisner's office laughed about it, but at WLS we laughed about it. But it drove home, even 5 years ago, 4 years ago, the stinking, slimy depths to which right-wingers, Republicans, sink. Well, not sink. It's where they exist. You know, just moving slowly through that slime. You know what I've said on this program, and I maintain it. I will maintain it till I suck in my last breath. Republicans, all of them, from Olympia Snow down to Republicans who post on my website, they're all thugs, liars, cheats, sneaks, killers, or enablers where it concerns killing. Every single Republican, I don't care how liberal, I don't care if it's Lincoln Chafee, I don't care who it is. If you are a Republican, you're a thug. You are acting counter to what this country is about. You are acting counter to the best interests of the American people. If you don't like that accusation, take a look at your record, take a look at what you support, and change. You know, that's the beauty of life, isn't it? We can all change. Hell has a new resident tonight, if you believe this nonsense, which I don't. But if there is a Christian hell, Lester Maddox believed there was one, didn't he? Oh, he was just a fire-breathing Baptist. Well, Lester, how hot is it in hell? Lester Maddox died today. Never speak ill of the dead. I'm not speaking ill of the dead. I'm just stating the obvious. Lester Maddox is in hell, if there is one. The former Atlanta restaurant owner and arch-segregationist who adopted the axe handle to beat the Negroes away from his filthy little chicken restaurant back in Georgia in the 60s, died today. He was 87 years old. Now, he first came to national attention in 64 when he violated, specifically, deliberately, and with malice aforethought, the newly signed Federal Civil Rights Act by refusing to serve three black Georgia Tech students who had more common sense in their little finger than this bald-headed freak had in his entire southern body at his Pickrick restaurant. Now, some of his customers, white Georgia redneck bastards, were sympathetic to his redneck cause and armed themselves with axe handles and stood in front of his restaurant to let the Negroes know they would not get their fried chicken at the Pickrick. Now, eventually, Maddox sold the axe handles as souvenirs in his little half-assed souvenir shop. They were called Pickrick drumsticks. And on occasion, Lester Maddox would autograph the handles. Now, yesterday, we lost somebody who did a lot for Atlanta, Maynard Jackson, happened to be a black man. Today, or was it this morning? I guess it was today. We lost a pig, somebody who did everything. He did everything in his power to prevent other human beings from breathing. Welcome to hell, Lester. You created the hell. It's your church's hell. I'm sure you're going to fry. Never speak ill of the dead. But you see, Lester believed that blacks were intellectually inferior to whites. The integration was a communist plot. The segregation was justified in the Bible. And that the federal orders to integrate schools was, in his slurring words, ungodly, unchristian, and un-American. He was supported by the Klan when he ran for governor of this godforsaken state. And he won because of a quirk in Georgia governor election laws or something. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King said, when hearing of the results of the vote that made Lester Maddox governor, Reverend King said he was ashamed to be a Georgian. Sounds like something the Dixie Chicks would say about another pig, right? So, Lester Maddox, you created the hell. Your church created it. How's it feel? Never speak ill of the dead. Haaretz, the Israeli newspaper that we quote frequently on this program, had just the strangest article. Not the article itself. I'm going to post this. You can read it yourself. It is a report on last week's ceasefire negotiations between Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas and faction leaders from Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and the Popular and Democratic Fronts for the Liberation of Palestine, blah, 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 blah. And then the meeting, subsequent meetings of George Bush and Abbas, George Bush and Sharon. And it's fairly straight ahead reporting until you get to the last paragraph. Now, I want you to listen to this, and I want you to understand, if you haven't understood at this point, how desperate it is to get George Bush peacefully and legally out of office. The last paragraph, last sentence, two sentences. According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. And now I am determined to solve the problem in the Middle East. If you help me, I will act, and if not, the elections will come, and I will have to focus on them. End quote. God told me. Now, when God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, what do we do with those folks? We arrest them, and they go ahead and kill somebody. We arrest them. If they have a good defense attorney, they can plead insanity. If they do not have a good defense attorney, they are jailed. In some instances, executed. Well, God told me to kill. God told me to take a gun and go kill those people. God told me to. And we snicker and we laugh. And deep in our hearts, we think, how perverse is that? Some crazy psychopath said God told him to go kill that family next door. God told him to get on the Long Island Railroad with a semi-automatic weapon and wipe out white people. God told him to go kill some Jews. God told me to go kill queers. God told me to kill Negroes. God told me. Right? What do we do with those people? We immediately identify them as crazy. Crazy! Here's George Bush saying, God told him to kill Al-Qaeda. God told me to strike at Saddam. And he's the President of the United States? Oh, my God. I think you misread Einstein. I said you really mean it. Next, what do you think we come here for? Our health or something? Everybody's waiting for the Messiah. The Jews are waiting. Christians are waiting. Also the Muslims. It's like everybody's waiting. They've been waiting a long time. I know how I hate to wait. Like even for a bus or something. An important phone call. So I can just imagine how darned impatient everybody must be getting. So I think it's time now. Time to reveal myself. I am the Messiah. I am
Mom, here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-day sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Hi, Tom Baudet for Motel6.com. Next time you're goofing around on the internet, you know, in other words, the next time you're at work, click on over to Motel6.com for Click 6 Web Bargains. Those are special discounts at hundreds of locations that you can only get when you book online. Just look for the Click 6 icon at Motel6.com and then get back to work. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light and the modem on for you. And a core hotel.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
The Tom Hartman Show.
The computerized voting machines in the last election. Our question is the theft of your vote. On our chat room here, Brain Shrub points out that H is the eighth letter of the alphabet. A is the first letter of the alphabet. So if you take that 18181, the exact number of votes that three different candidates in one county in Texas got on these computerized voting machines, and you simply convert it to letters, it becomes... Is it a conspiracy or a coincidence?
Okay, first of all, I wanted to say congratulations. We were elected to the White House by one of the narrowest margins in history. 63% of registered voters.
Wait a second. You wanted me to poll registered voters?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
You are the Christ, you're the great Jesus Christ. Prove to me that you're divine. Change my water into wine, that's all you need to.
It is the calling of our time to rid the world of terror. That's our calling. It's the calling of the 21st century. And it's a calling that we will not tire for. It's a calling that we will keep in our minds.
Oh, shut up and sit down. Boy, is Ashcroft going to be pissed off. Ashcroft, you know, Ashcroft is going to say, wait a second, George. I've been talked to. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy. If ever a country like ours has been run by a group of cultists, religious cultists. It has happened. It has happened. Do you understand this? Do you understand what's going on right in the bloody bowels of government now that the Bush crime family's in power? The prayer meetings and the speaking in tongues and the dragging up those bags of snakes from the White House basement and personal visitations now at 3 a.m. in the Lincoln bedroom where Christ or God or the Archangel Michael or somebody appears to George Bush and tells him to go kill? I mean, is anybody else upset about this? There it is in his own words in Haaretz. It's not published on some wild-eyed website. It's in a leading Israeli newspaper. George Bush said, God told me to go kill Al-Qaeda and to attack Saddam, not my intelligence community, not the UN, not my military advisors, not the CIA. God spoke to me. God told me to. You're not concerned? Well, of course, I mean, I know you are. I don't mean to beat up on you. Oh. But there it is. There it is. Bush, instructed by God. All this stuff about, well, he never said, now, Mike, he never said that, you know, God picked him. Yes, he did. And he continues to say it. This was less than a week ago, or 2 weeks ago. When was it, Kathy? When was he over there? God told me to blow the arms off of that little boy we all call Stumpy now. God told me to kill and kill and kill some more. God told me to do it. Well, sure, George, just like in the Old Testament, where God told Joshua, cross into Canaan land and slaughter them all. Butcher them. Whew. But this is not 5000 BC, is it? Maybe it is. I don't know. When you have a president of the United States speaking for attribution to another head of state, God told me to attack Al-Qaeda, God told me to attack Saddam. And we're not just like running into the streets right now, rending our garments and beating ourselves with birch whips and I don't know what, taking ashes and rubbing into the wounds. My God, do you realize where we are? Do you realize where we are? We're in 11th century Italy. That's where we are. Let the scouring and scourging begin. Rip me with your fingernails. Beat me. Flail me. Nail me to a board. Whew. Okay, I'm getting way too worked up about this, right? All right, never mind. Let's just let it go. Just when I saw the story today, I just freaked. I just freaked. I absolutely freaked. I knocked over the computer trying to get out of my chair and get away from
You're
this.
Listening to Resistance.
A demon thing coming through my computer. George Bush talks with God, and then his head spins round and round and round, and the green vomit spews all over the Oval Office. Okay, that's enough. That's it. When we come back, we'll get on to something to calm everybody down. Lester Maddox in hell that he created, you know, if you believe that stuff. And George Bush talks with God about killing people. Oh, this is great. This is good. This is really good. Yeah, oh, this is good.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. It took only a year and a half, but an Enron executive is finally going to jail. Former Enron treasurer Ben Gleason was sentenced to 5 years in a federal minimum security prison Wednesday for helping mastermind a series of fake transactions which inflated Enron's bottom line by billions of dollars. Gleason will also pay $1.4 million in penalties. While in prison, Gleason will put in seven-hour work days, either serving food in the cafeteria or doing landscape work. 18 other Enron executives face criminal charges. The next will go to trial in April. Meanwhile, former CEO Kenneth Lay and Chief Financial Officer Jeffrey Skilling, considered the linchpins in the Enron pyramid, have not yet been charged.
Angry protests outside meetings of the World Trade Organization in Cancun. Tens of thousands of farmers, environmentalists, and labor activists converged outside the WTO's fifth ministerial meeting in the resort town as riot police clashed with hundreds of protesters. Inside the meeting, the most heated debate centered around the United States' insistence that other countries accept genetically modified food grown in the U.S. U.S. Ag Secretary Ann Veneman.
We want to eliminate export subsidies, the most egregious form of trade distortion. We want to significantly expand market access. Our goal is to greatly reduce trade barriers that prevent trade and economic expansion.
But many countries find expanded trade in genetically modified food hard to swallow. Korean rice farmer Lee Kyung-hee took his own life in protest outside the WTO talks Wednesday, calling attention to the plight of South Korea's rice farmers who have been devastated by WTO policies.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I'll be a cowboy, a Christian cowboy. I'll look for Jesus all my days. And on the prairie or in the city, I'll help him round up all the strays.
The course of this conflict is not known. Yet its outcome is certain. God is not neutral.
Man, you know, it's a lot worse than you and I acknowledge. We sit here and do acknowledge the horror of where this country is and where it's headed right now, unless we can get this guy out of office. But we really don't acknowledge how terrible things are with religious fanatics, Old Testament religious fanatics in charge of this government. Ted emailed in and just wanted to know, would God pick the grandson of a Nazi financier to be his messenger? Huh? Somebody who assisted in the financially in the building of the ovens and death chambers in Poland? Is that who God's going to say, hey, listen, there's another group I want you to go kill now. You know, your granddad did a pretty good job, but I want you to go kill these Arabs. God. Oh, it's just, I said we'd move on, didn't we? I don't know. It's just real scary, folks. Huh? Isn't it? You know they're trying to recall Gray Davis, they being Republican thugs, worms, weasels, vermin, typical Republican vermin. The person leading it is Representative Daryl Issa. He's the force behind this recall effort. Got a little news for you here. This was in the San Francisco Chronicle today. Republican Representative Daryl Issa, who is leading this, was prosecuted with his brother in San Jose, California, about 20 years ago for faking the theft of Issa's Mercedes-Benz sedan and selling it to a car dealer for $16,000. That's according to court records. This guy's a car thief. In a phone interview with the Chronicle yesterday, he blamed his brother for the car theft. Wasn't me, it was my brother. See, well, you can't get away from this biblical crap. You know, it's Cain and Abel. Here we are. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was my brother. I don't steal. Now, the whole thing is detailed in documents on file in the Santa Clara County Superior Court, and the details have never been made public. Now, this is the guy. He's a second-term San Diego area congressman. He's a car thief. He's a car thief, okay? Not once, not twice, three times. I'll share it with you in a second. But he's put $1 million of the money he's sucked up from his corporation. I don't know what he does. I don't care what he does. Oh, that's right. He became a multimillionaire manufacturer of electronic auto alarms. The guy's a car thief, and he made millions with the Viper anti-theft device. How about that, huh? Is the world not just chock-a-block with irony and farce and silliness, huh? George Bush talks with God about who to kill next, and Representative Daryl Issa, who was busted three times on car theft, made his millions by inventing an anti-car theft device. You got to love it. You got to love it. Or you have to acknowledge that we're all in hell. This guy, Issa, has pumped $1 million into the campaign to recall Davis and has declared that he will run for governor should the recall qualify for the ballot this year. I guess he got about a third of the signatures they need. Now, his previous political campaign, Republican thug pig Daryl Issa in California. His two or his former campaigns were kind of roiled by allegations that twice, once while a student in his hometown of Cleveland and once while a soldier in Pennsylvania, he was involved in car thefts. This is a three strikes and you're out dude, and he belongs in prison for the rest of his life, right? I mean, isn't that what Republicans talk about? Three strikes, your ass is out. Your ass is out for good, forever. Forever. Just like Lester Maddox roasting in hell tonight, it's for all eternity. That's where Issa should be, in prison, three times, car theft. But no, he's made millions by marketing an anti-car theft device, and now he's spending some of those millions to recall Gray Davis. Isn't this, I don't know. What's the word? Somebody give me a word. Irony doesn't get it. Insanity is just... Now, the San Jose case from 80 was the second time that Issa and his brother were allegedly. See, the Chronicle puts in the word allegedly. The hell with that word. I hate that word. Car theft, period. In 1972, Issa, who was then 19, was indicted with his brother William on a charge of felony grand theft for stealing a red Maserati sports car from a dealership in Cleveland, Ohio. Court records show. In the third incident, a retired Army sergeant claimed that in 1971, Issa, who was then an enlisted man, had stolen a Dodge sedan from an Army post near Pittsburgh. God! Issa founded Rescue California. That's the organization to recall Gray Davis. Because Gray Davis got his mammaries caught in the ringer by Enron and Duke Power, and 60 companies, now I understand, have been told to produce documentation showing how they screwed the ratepayers in California or lose their right to do business there. Is that what it is? Three-time car theft. A three-time car theft. You know what? He'll get reelected. Because he's from the San Diego area, and if you know anything about California, you know what San Diego is. You know, most people, when they've been bad, they die and go to hell if they're Christian. Republicans die and go to San Diego. God. You can't make this stuff up, can you? You just can't make this up. George Bush is talking to God, and God's telling him who to kill tomorrow. Go kill these people, and next week I have another kill thing for you. Watch out with the head spinning, George. I mean, that freaks people out. That's okay once in a while, but don't do that, especially when you're talking to Mahmoud Abbas with the Palestinian. You want to freak him out? He's an Arab. You know, he's a Muslim. Don't do the head spinning thing. And then you have Daryl Issa, who's financing a recall Gray Davis. And he's a car theft. He's a three-time loser car theft. Thief, whatever. I think Robert in L.A. has something to say about that, don't you, Robert?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I was going to... excuse me. I was going to give you that alert, but you already beat me to it. You know, actually, it really depends on the level of badness when they die, because some of them will end up here in Orange County locally.
Yeah, that's true. Orange County is a close second to San Diego County.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. We also got some other crazy fool here who's threatening to unseat other people. I forgot his name, but he's a local Republican here in Newport Beach.
Republicans are just—I don't know. They're amoeba. They're not even higher life forms. I can't stand Republicans. They are creators of mischief.
I agree. You know, and what really trips me out about this. About this, Mike, it's the fact that, you know, whatever the situation is with Gray Davis, you know, I think, you know, there's some things that he could be doing better, a lot better at, you know, but just in case, you know, just for instance, if they decide to recall Davis, where the hell is the alternative? You got a car thief, you got a Christian religious fanatic in Bill Simon, you got the Terminator.
Right.
Where's the alternative, you know?
Hey, California, I've always heard is fantasy land, dude, so, you know, what can I say, right?
Whatever, man. It is, you know, and I think that, I don't know, I just think, you know, I just think people need to realize as much as we're dealing with the situation with Gray Davis, you know, you have to think about the motivation behind this recall.
Oh, sure.
It's all about power with the Republicans.
Sure.
Nothing about power, Mike.
Sure, I know. And they're all demons. Hey, thanks, Robert.
Bye, man.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Now, let's go from the ridiculous to the sublime. Yesterday, Bush and Pickles celebrated Black Music Month. The White House. Now, who did they invite? Huh? Did they invite, like, Dr. Dre? Did they invite, like, any? Who did they invite? What kind of music were they celebrating? Well, of course, they were celebrating music that is not offensive to white people. That would be the Harlem Renaissance, which I have nothing against. You know, back in the, what was it, 20s, 30s? Harlem Renaissance music? Jazz music? Of course, it was because of Harlem Renaissance music that we have all the drug laws in this country now, because the drug enforcers back then said, well, that's the Negroes again, you know, and they do drugs, and listen to that music, Jesus, stop them! So, yeah, we can look back now, 70 years here in the future, 80 years here in the future, say, oh, hey, man, wasn't that great music? Hey, you like that jazz? Hey, man, a bebop. You like, but back then... The black musicians that were creating the music were being busted and harassed. Drug music. Negro music. But anyway, last night Bush and Pickles celebrated Black Music Month with a musical tribute to the Harlem Renaissance, which was especially created for the White House. Now, see that line right there from the Associated Press. Especially created for the White House. Yeah, take it easy on the hard stuff now. Let's have a little doo-da-ba-ba, doo-da-ba-ba-boom. Ha-ha. You know, the cast of the musical Harlem Song and the Harlem Jazz Museum artists combined for a unique presentation, melding three Duke Ellington pieces with four songs from the Broadway musical. Afterward, Bush said, shaking his head in admiration as he took the lectern, I'm feeling pretty energized. This is an annual event. And we always try to celebrate in a style, and we did. Negro music in the White House? In the Bush White House? Negro music? You got to be kidding. Speaking afterward, Bush traced the history. Bush traced the history? A black artist musical performances at the White House? Like Well, there was Duke Ellington and Lionel Hampton and Hank Jones and Billy Taylor and Marian Anderson. And, of course, the only reason Marian Anderson got there is because the white races in this country beat the living hell out of her when she was going to sing in the, the National Auditorium or whatever the hell it was in Washington. She wound up singing on the steps of the Lincoln Monument. Yeah, we want to celebrate the good Negroes, Lionel Hampton and Marian Anderson and Duke Ellington, you know, not the bad Negro, not that old Tupac guy, you know, none of them people, no, the good Negroes, the ones who added grace and dignity to the story of black music in America. Yes, grace and dignity, grace and dignity. It's only one thing I hate worse than racist bigots. In this specific area of hate, I have several, and that is racist bigots who try to get all like I don't know, what am I looking for here? Quick, help me! Who try to get all non-white? Yeah, man, I dig jazz music. You know what I'm saying? Like, who is that trumpet player, dude? You know what you know, the one that used to shoot up heroin and stuff. Man, I loves Jack. How about Louis Armstrong? He were a good Negro. Sweated a lot. Had that old handkerchief. I'm George Bush, and man, I love black music. Yeah, I love it. These people are insane. So George Bush at the White House last night celebrating Afro-American music. Jazz music. It wasn't so long ago, not in my lifetime, not in yours either, unless you're really old, that kind of music was considered to be, well, you know, that made people, make white people want to touch one another, make white people get pregnant. Make white people want to do drugs and smoke that funny tobacco and do that cocaine. What you call that stuff? That's what that jazz music did. Man, we've come a long way, haven't we? We've certainly come a long way. Okay, where are we? I'm kind of losing it tonight. I mean, you start the program with two or three stories like that, you're going to lose. You're going to go completely berserk behind the microphone. Everybody's going to say, Jesus, let me switch over to NPR. I can't take this guy tonight. He's really freaking out. He says Lester Maddox is in hell, and George Bush talks to God. And at the White House the other night, they did black Harlem Renaissance music and, spinning heads and... I need to take a chill pill. I guess, Kathy, I got to get back on the medication. I don't know. And then there's this little tiny item here. Nearly two-thirds of American adults, 65% of American adults, in a survey conducted by findlaw.org or whatever, it's a legal website, 65% of Americans cannot name any of the 9 justices currently serving on the U.S. Supreme Court. The survey conducted by Find Law, a legal website, found that only 35% of American adults could name at least one current Supreme Court justice. Less than 1% of us, at least the ones at Find Law, I don't know how the poll's conducted. It says the national survey used a representative sample of 1,000 adults nationwide with a margin of error of plus or minus 3 percentage points. Who did the survey? I'll post it to the website. You can check it out yourself. But less than 1% of Americans could correctly name all 9 justices. Less than 1% of us. 65% of Americans could not name one single Supreme Court justice. Not one. Now, do you understand? See, this is part of the reason that Karl Rove says, compromise with Tom Daschle? Are you kidding? Let's bring the most violent, neo-Nazi, federalist judges up for nomination that we can possibly come up with, because the American public, not only do they don't care, they don't even know who they are. We're in a world of doo-doo, folks. But that's all right. We have a fun couple of hours coming, so stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Hi, Tom Baudet for Motel 6. Some websites use outrageous gimmicks to attract visitors, like click here and get three wishes. But at Motel6.com, they have Click 6 web bargains that save you even more off the lowest price of any national chain. And you can only get them when you book online. Sorry, no three wishes, but you will have more money. That's usually wish number one anyway. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you. And a core hotel.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it. Stop surfing and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday,
Sunday,
for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this
Sunday
for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
The Flying Monkey Ride Blues. Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
Don't forget Dennis Kucinich coming up right after the break. It's almost upon us here. Bush is now blaming the failure to find weapons of mass destruction on the looters. Reported by the Independent UK. Regarding Bush's weekly radio address, I guess it was last Saturday. Gee, I don't know what I was doing. I missed it. Did you listen to his radio address, Bush's? He was forced to produce a new explanation of why we've not found all these weapons, and he told people listening to the radio that the sites where everything was hidden had been looted in the closing days of Saddam Hussein's regime. So there you have it. We have the new overseer, the military overseer of Iraq, testifying before a Senate committee today. And we may get around to some of the sound. Lieutenant General John Abizaid. He's Lebanese. He speaks Arabic. And he was answering questions in front of the Senate Armed Services Committee today. He's up for confirmation to be the new military overseer. And he was asked questions about the missing weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and he had a couple of interesting answers, which I don't mean they're valid. I don't mean they're true, correct, or honest. They're just interesting. But apparently the general forgot to check with Bush's script from his radio address last Saturday, in which Bush said the looters got them. the looters got them. The looters got those ICBMs, those huge trillion-ton missiles that were pointed at the United States, and all the nuclear stuff. Except I saw on this the whitest white man on television is Lou Dobbs, right? He's doughy. He looks like the Pillsbury Doughboy. He's puffy. He makes me ashamed to be a white man, frankly. But Lou Dobbs had, I don't know, it's exclusive to CNN. I guess exclusive to CNN. They found this little thing. I don't know how big is it, Kathy, about the size of a bread box. And apparently it's a key component to ending the world, or maybe the solar system. And by God, they found it in Iraq. Now, how about that? They found it's all bright and shiny. Had a picture of it. All bright. Maybe the picture they showed was one like it. But it's very bright and shiny. So there's Lou Dobbs, the whitest white man in television. Who, oh God, I got to calm down. I just got to calm down. So now George Bush says it's the looters took all the weapons of mass destruction. Okay. Dennis Kucinich up next. Stick around.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities like Ted Nugent.
Everybody's got to learn to support hunting, fishing, and trapping because that's where the dollars come from to save habitat.
You know, every time you get done talking, I feel like I should say amen.
But because I live the truth. That's what my book, God, Guns, and Rock and Roll, it's on the New York Times bestseller list. It sounds like I'm bragging because I am.
I love the book, Ted.
Thank you. It's like we're at a damn campfire, isn't it?
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about
about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
This is Mike Malloy, and so here we are. 2 years have passed since a terrorist attack on U.S. soil left more than 3,000 people dead, U.S. citizens and citizens from dozens of other nations. During these 2 years, we and the world have waited for a full and factual investigation by the Bush administration, on whose watch this horrific crime occurred. We continue to wait. Not only has the Bush administration failed to conduct an official inquiry into this massacre, it has also attempted, successfully so far, to impede, delay, and ultimately halt any attempt to unravel the awful truths of September 11, 2001. We must ask why this administration has worked so long and so hard to kill any search for the truth. We must ask why phone calls were made by the highest-ranking Bush administration officials, George Bush and Dick Cheney, to Democratic congressional leaders demanding that any investigation be conducted on nothing more than a superficial level. We must ask why the FBI was used by the Bush administration to intimidate Democratic members of Congress. These members had the temerity to suggest publicly that cooperation was not being provided by the country's intelligence-gathering organizations, that, in fact, Congress was even being denied the simplest information needed for its, at best, cursory and incomplete attempt to get to the truth of 911. We must ask why renegade FBI agents, in other words, agents who refused to participate in the code of silence imposed by Attorney General John Ashcroft, why those agents were reassigned, censured, or otherwise disciplined for attempting to expose the criminal incompetence of the U.S. security and intelligence communities under the control of the Bush administration. We must ask why investigations prior to the awful events of September 11th, investigations into potential terrorist acts such as flying jetliners into densely occupied office buildings, were stopped by the Bush administration. We must ask why the rulers of Saudi Arabia, business partners of the Bush family, and the chief exporters of militant Islam were declared by the Bush administration to be off limits in any comprehensive investigation into the financing of global terrorism of the sort that resulted in the destruction of the Twin Trade Towers in New York City on September 11, 2001. We must ask why members of the extended bin Laden family, also business partners of the Bush family, were allowed to leave the U.S. shortly after the bombing on 9/11, yet without being questioned by the FBI or other U.S. investigators. This was at a time when less important Arab speakers and people from the Middle East were being swept up in a law enforcement net spread across the U.S. and jailed. We must ask why the U.S. Air Defense System, a multi-billion-dollar system put in place specifically to guard against air attacks against us, had been ordered to stand down on September 11, 2001. We must ask why there was no response from the U.S. military when it became clear this nation was under attack. We must ask who issued those orders to stand down and why. We must ask why it was necessary immediately after 9/11 to pass federal legislation that, in effect, ended constitutional protections provided by the First, Fourth, Fifth, Eighth, and Tenth Amendments. We must ask why we were told by the highest law enforcement officer in the U.S., John Ashcroft, that any questions regarding these changes in domestic law by the public at large or members of Congress would be just short of an act of treason. We must ask why the Bush administration ordered an attack, both unlawful and against the demands of the global community, against two countries that provided not one of the bombers who committed mass murder in this country on September 11, 2001. We must ask why the country that did provide 15 of the 19 killers, Saudi Arabia, was spared the so-called shock and awe of U.S. military might. We must ask why Iraq, why Afghanistan? We must ask why the Bush administration, 2 years after that day of death and destruction, continues to participate in the covering up, the hiding, and the destruction of the facts regarding its failure of leadership that led directly to the awful events of September 11th. This failure of leadership, or worse, participation, active or passive, in the events leading to and following the attack on this country constitutes the greatest failure in this country's history. And if we are to consider this country, our country, to have even a minimal moral center, we must ask why the frustration, the pain, and yes, the agony of the families of those killed on September 11th, 2001, the sons and daughters, the wives and husbands, the mothers and fathers, why their pain does not register with, nor matter to, the Bush administration. I am reasonably certain that on the third anniversary of the awful and immoral and criminal events of September 11th, 2001, these questions still will not have been answered. I'm Mike Malloy.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
One ringy-dingy. Oh, is this the party to whom I am speaking? Ernestine Tomlin here, WebEx Communications visionary. I want to tell you about the new ringy-dingy, online meetings from WebEx. With WebEx, you share real-time voice, video, and data all through your browser. It's the world's richest web conferencing experience. Use WebEx and kick your competition in the tush. Visit me today at WebEx.com. I have something to show you.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Anyone who has listened to this program over the past 2 years or so knows I am a supporter of Dennis Kucinich, the man and his message. We had him as a guest after his Prayer for America speech, you'll remember, a few months back. And since he announced his candidacy, it's no secret I have endorsed him as my candidate of choice. Now, he's been kind enough to join us again. Mr. Kucinich, it's an honor to speak with you again. Thanks for taking time out to talk with us.
Thank you, and good evening.
Here's what I've done. We asked our listeners to come up with questions. We created a web page. We've got the questions. Let's get right to it, okay?
Let's go for it.
First of all, do you have a universal health care plan that we can download and read? And if so, how closely does it resemble the one put forth by Physicians for a National Health Care Plan?
I think it's very close to the Physicians plan. My plan is embodied in congressional legislation, H.R. 676. The plan is on both my congressional website and my campaign website. The essence of the plan for universal health care is Medicare for all. It would provide single-payer for a single-payer system that would cover everything. I mean, you know, today so many people are involved in paying premiums and co-pays and deductibles, and the premiums keep going up. Right now, we're on track for a sharp increase in medical spending over the next decade that would account for about 18% of our gross domestic product. Right now, it's about 14% of our gross domestic product. Medicare for All is really the name for the simplest, most cost-efficient national health program, and the first step, Mike, is to expand the range of medical services currently available under Medicare, and Medicare for All would cover everyone. It would include prescription drugs, full mental health treatment, preventive care, long-term care, dental and vision care, and other medically necessary treatments. And all the other programs, like Medicaid, would be brought under Medicare for All in order to reduce necessary bureaucracy. And the main features would be providing a universal, best quality standard of medical care and improving health care for not just the patients, but improving the system for doctors, nurses, and other providers. It would save money. It wouldn't cost money because it would eliminate the excessive profits and have the smallest overhead and would spread the risk. So this is a system whose time has come, and I'm proud to be advancing it as part of my campaign for the presidency, a plan that ensures everyone, guarantees all races, all ages, all income earners have the best care. And you know, moreover than that, more than that, Mike, it recognizes that the private market has failed.
All right, now that can be downloaded at your website.
Yes.
Okay. Next question. One of your positions in the campaign has been the repeal of NAFTA because it has too few protections for workers in the environment. While I agree with added protections, I'm concerned that a radical change in international trade agreements could result in loss of foreign customers and disruption of domestic company supply chains. As president, would you make it a priority to negotiate fair trade agreements to replace the existing ones?
Well, of course. You know, as I say, I'm going to move forward to cancel NAFTA, I've also said that simultaneous with that would be to rebuild our trade relations along bilateral bases. America has this wonderful market which we can provide access to, provided our trading partners are willing to agree to fundamental principles of workers' rights, human rights, and the environment. For example, under my administration, if someone wants to trade with the United States, they would have to make sure and provide assurances that they would give workers the right to collective bargaining, the right to be able to form a union. I mean, this is a basic right in a democratic society, and it ought to be a right in any society in which with which we do business. We need to move in that direction and foster it. NAFTA hasn't done that. NAFTA has actually helped not only create a race to the bottom, but NAFTA has made it possible to break unions and to destroy collective bargaining rights and to move jobs out of this country.
Right.
The whole idea of canceling NAFTA has come about through watching America's manufacturing base begin to disintegrate. We've lost 2.5 million manufacturing jobs in this country. Hundreds of thousands of jobs lost are directly due to NAFTA. And generally, our trading practices have been favorable for other countries who enable multinational corporations to have their profits enhanced, but they've damaged the interests of communities in America who are really put over a barrel when their industries move, and sometimes the industries stay as a result of extracting sharp concessions on wages and benefits from workers.
Right.
The elimination of NAFTA would level the playing field and enable the quality of life for all workers everywhere to be lifted up, as well as to enshrine human rights in our trade policies.
All right. You have said, quote, we need to institutionalize the separation of corporations and the state, end quote. Would you take just a second here and elaborate on what changes could be made to the so-called personhood that the corporate world enjoys? What chances do you see in getting those offshore tax havens closed, for example, to the corporate tax dodgers and cheats?
Well, there's a number of issues. First of all, we have to require that everyone who makes money under the American flag pays taxes here, and they don't get a chance to export their profits to some island and then avoid their responsibility to the American people. But beyond that, the way to, I think, create a more productive and responsible role for corporations in American life is to do a number of things, including the following. First of all, the government, I believe, and under my administration, would engage in aggressive antitrust enforcement. We need to break up the monopolies in our economy. I don't think the challenge is any less striking than it was 100 years ago when Teddy Roosevelt broke up the trust in his era. Today, monopolies in energy, in communications, in the media, in agriculture are not only driving up prices, but they've destroyed a lot of smaller businesses. They've created a lessening of competition in our economy at a time when competition really has to be analogous to democratic principles.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, there's been a lack of regulation on the part of the government. Deregulation has brought with it we saw the disaster of deregulation in Enron with respect to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. We saw the disaster of deregulation with respect to the Securities and Exchange Commission and all the sharp practices that were going on with respect to overstating of the financial position of corporations. We have seen how corporations and the lack of regulation has meant spoiling our water and our air and ruining our land. We've seen how lack of enforcement of fair labor standards has crushed workers and their rights and created unsafe workplaces when OSHA is not properly enforced. So the government has a responsibility, and that responsibility is to make sure that these great economic engines work to the benefit of the community and not damage community interests. So under my administration, we go back to re-regulation. In addition to that, we want to tame the role of corporations in terms of the economic impact on campaigns. We have to clean up the money situation with respect to politics. Corporations right now are running the government through their financial influence and campaigns.
Right.
We have to, I believe, push for not only public financing of campaigns, but we really need to once again have the government mount a challenge to the Supreme Court decision that relates to equating money with free speech.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The Buckley versus Valeo decision was very damaging for our democracy. And, you know, finally, the issue of corporate personhood is one that I think is going to emerge in the 21st century. Well, I sincerely believe there is a new breed of business persons coming forward who are socially responsible, who want to do the right thing, who are interested in new techniques that protect the environment, that create sustainability, that are guided by principles which affirm human dignity. We also understand that there are individuals who operate corporations and do not care about community. I think we need a new standard. I think that standard that ought to be considered is one of a national or federal charter for corporations,
mm-hmm.
which would require a certain type of conduct, not to cheat your shareholders, to be honest in your financial statements, to be honest with the community with which you're dealing with respect to enforcement of workers' rights and the environment, environmental laws, and just to be a good citizen. I mean, if an ordinary citizen breaks the good faith in the community and, in effect, breaks the law, they're subject to penalties.
Sure.
You know, often these corporations are not subject to anything that is substantial, and yet they organize their economic power in a way where they can basically break a community.
Mm-hmm.
We need to create a new balance in our society, and my administration would seek to do that by looking for measures to ensure greater corporate accountability.
Okay, we've got a break here in about 2.5 minutes, but here's the next question. What would you do in the executive branch to help reverse the tax cuts that have been pushed through the legislative branch by the Bush administration? How would you handle these so-called tax cuts?
Well, the tax cut has to be canceled. I mean, it's a, you know, the as president, I would move to cancel the tax cuts and to recover the revenue. See, people have to remember, when you start talking about tax cuts, you're really translating that into reductions in service. You know, when people celebrate tax cut, well, that means educational cuts. That means cuts in veterans benefits. That means cuts in health care. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is the cause of nationhood? And I think it's instructive to go back to the Constitution of the United States and the preamble to the Constitution, because that preamble has well stated the cause of nationhood itself when it says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Those are the broad purposes of nationhood.
Mm-hmm.
And we're forgetting that. You know, we sometimes, this administration would have us believe the nation exists only for those who are wealthy, and it exists only to feed a growing military machine.
Right.
And yet, that is not the essence of the and the spirit of the preamble to the Constitution. So what I would do is to cancel the tax cuts and make it possible for us to refinance our social agenda and also provide for a common defense. But you know what? We're going to have to cut that bloated Pentagon budget, because there's a lot of money there, too, which can go into education and other in other important areas.
Congressman Kucinich, I realize I'm hitting you with some rapid-fire kind of town hall-style questioning here, but we have so many folks who wanted to get a question to you, so many people who support your candidacy. So this seemed like the most time-efficient way to ask the questions that concern the listeners. Now, we have a quick break here, and then we'll be right back. You can hold on for another we still have some time left. You'll hold on, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, all right. Quick break here. We'll be back. We're talking with Dennis Kucinich, presidential candidate, Democratic Party, and the candidate. I've said this on this program. This is a man that that this program supports. We'll be back right after this break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Hey, Mom, here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-day sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Those of you who think George W. Bush is a doll will be thrilled to know that he is. Literally. Thanks to Blue Box Toys Incorporated, George has become his own G.I. Joe doll. For only $39.95, you can have this 1-foot-tall plastic action figure of George in your own home. It depicts him all dolled up in that Top Gun-style flight suit that he donned a few months ago for his political stunt landing on an aircraft carrier. The George doll has him in a heroic pose, as though he's about to leap into his fighter jet and single-handedly go smoke out old Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein, and all the rest of the world's baddest evildoers. Even more dynamic is the name given to this made-in-China action figure. Elite Force Aviator George W. Bush, U.S. President and Naval Aviator. A Blue Box Toys spokeswoman defended the inclusion of Bush in the company's Elite Force collection because, she said, he fit the criteria of being, quote, somebody in uniform, a military hero of some kind. Holy Audie Murphy, a military hero? George W.? He's the guy who ducked duty in Vietnam by having a politically connected family friend pull strings so he would avoid being drafted. Even after he was slipped into the Air National Guard, he's the guy who went AWOL for an entire year of duty. He's also the guy who shamelessly uses our military forces for his own political gain, including that made-for-TV military stunt landing aboard the aircraft carrier where he declared the Iraqi war to be over. A political pronouncement that is cruelly cynical for the families of more than 100 U.S. soldiers who've been killed in Iraq since then. This is Jim Hightower saying, it's absurd that Bush the poseur would be portrayed as an elite aviator, much less a hero. But I think this doll is somehow appropriate, for it shows him for what he is, a toy soldier. Maybe next we can get a bobblehead doll of Bush. Now that would be appropriate.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. We're talking to Congressman and presidential candidate Dennis Kucinich. Congressman, next question here from one of our listeners. She wants to know about your plans for a Department of Peace. I don't know how many people are aware that you're the only candidate probably in the history of this republic who's come up with this idea, but can you expand a little bit on that?
Sure, sure, and thank you for asking the question. The idea that violence and war are inevitable is something that we're plagued with. You know, we see that in the 20th century, over 100 million people perished in wars, most of them innocent civilian non-combatants. We see in our own American society a society that's beset by violence within the home and in the communities. And we see prisons filled as emblematic of a society that really can't get a grip on handling violence. In July of 2001, I first introduced legislation to create a federal cabinet-level Department of Peace. The purpose of this cabinet-level position and department is to make nonviolence an organizing principle in our society for domestic as well as international policy, to take the work of Dr. King and others and make it the everyday work of the nation. Specifically, the Department of Peace would address and create programs working with community groups and educational institutions,
mm-hmm.
would address domestic violence, spousal abuse, child abuse. I mean, there's violence that goes on in our homes, and we don't like to talk about it, but it has such a destructive effect on our society. And with compassion and with really real love, we can address these issues in a way that is forthright and enables families to get the kind of help that they need so that individuals don't get hurt inside the home.
Right.
And the Department of Peace would have that purpose. It would also begin to analyze what's going on in American society with respect to the violence in our communities, whether it's police community relations challenges, violence, racial violence, violence against gays, any kind violence in the schools. You know, when we see the symptomatology in our society, we just take it for granted. Well, that's just the way it is. It's not the way it is. It's the way we come to accept it, but we have the transformational capabilities in the human heart and the human spirit to change anything at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Department of Peace catches that impulse and goes with it and works with community groups and educational leaders and the whole range of people who commit their lives to improving the human condition. On an international level, Mike, this department would seek to do nothing less than to make war itself archaic. I mean, who says we're always stuck with war? You know, John Kennedy once said it when speaking about the dangers of nuclear war. He said, you know, we either learn to live together as brothers and sisters or we'll perish as fools.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in a society where we really get to make the choice that we can change the world and we can change ourselves. So that's the Department of Peace has that kind of hopeful, optimistic vision. And I think it's really consonant with who we are as Americans. Americans are always, you know, until 9/11, we've been kind of an upbeat type people and optimistic and forward-looking. And you know, we can become that again. And that's kind of the direction I want to take this country.
That sounds great. You have to go, right?
I got a few more minutes.
We have a three-minute break coming up here in just about a minute. It's only a three-minute break. If you could stick around, because there's something very important I'd like to ask you about how people can support you and directly join your campaign. Can you stick just for a few more minutes?
Sure.
Okay, let me put you on hold. We'll come back. It's a three-minute break. We're talking with Dennis Kucinich. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
Hey, Mom, here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-day sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Disheartening news about the environment can be bad for your mental health. According to a psychologist and author, her prescription, get involved. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Chelis Glendinning is a New Mexico psychologist who counsels victims of child abuse and other traumas. She says her patients employ a number of psychological strategies in an effort to cope with their experiences, and she sees some of those same behaviors in people worried about the future of the planet.
Given how many changes are taking place and so quickly, all of this has a really severe impact on our psyches. And one of the typical responses to trauma is a sense of futurelessness.
Glendinning, the author of a new book called Off the Map, says trauma victims tend to dissociate, to disconnect from themselves and from their experiences. She says our society is doing the same. She says we're in denial about global warming, toxic pollution, and other environmental hazards. But Glendinning says we have to face these problems.
There is a sense of futurelessness that so many people around the world share at this point. It seems so important that we can move beyond the denial, move beyond the protective apathy that so many people experience, and become human beings who are facing these problems and feeling them and grieving for them and feeling afraid and become active.
Glendinning says people need to stop ignoring these problems and get involved. She says any kind of action, whether volunteering in your community or planting a garden in your backyard, lets you regain a sense of hope and a feeling that you have some control over the future. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All these years, love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Continuing our discussion here with Congressman Dennis Kucinich and presidential candidate Dennis Kucinich. And time is of the essence here. That's why we tried this format of asking you to send in your questions. And again, I don't mean this to sound like some rapid-fire town hall meeting, but I certainly understand the congressman's schedule. I hope you'll be able to come back and talk with us again, Congressman Kucinich.
I appreciate that very much. I appreciate the chance to answer those questions, and I hope the answers I gave were comprehensive enough. I mean, these are issues that are so important to the American people. And
well, I've got one more for you. Actually, two questions, last two. The second one is going to be, is there anything you'd like to discuss about your platform and how people can join your campaign? But before that, about, and this kind of ties in Department of Peace. The question comes from a listener in Mesa, Arizona. Our troops have been spread out throughout the world on missions that are not necessarily in the national interest. What is your plan, if any, to bring our troops home safely? And what can be done about bringing home the soldiers that are already in Afghanistan and Iraq?
We have to begin by redefining our national interest. Now, the administration has a national security strategy which established a doctrine of preemption and put America in a position literally opposed to the rest of the world, a unipolar vision of the world, with America as being that single pole around which the rest of the world would revolve. I don't think that's a realistic approach in the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the approach that works is not a dominator approach, but one of cooperation with the world community. You know, we certainly always are going to be in a position of having an enormous amount of military strength, but we have to realize that the military strength alone is not going to be what is going to characterize the celebration of our society around the world. That America has to work with the world community on matters of international security, with 20 nations possessing or are trying to get biological weapons, and 26 nations trying to get chemical weapons or having them, and another in 12 nations having nuclear weapons or trying to get them, and 20 nations having missile delivery systems or trying to achieve those types of systems. We have our work cut out for us to achieve a framework of international cooperation which helps to lead the way in arms reductions, as well as cooperation through the United Nations, and cooperation in going after anyone who wants to stand outside the world community and create danger for the world community. Now, with respect to troops, America does have a presence around the world, and I would suggest to you that it may well be that that a total evaluation of America's troop presence is called for, because it seems to be more consistent with a 19th and 20th century vision of America. I think a 21st century vision of America of cooperation has the world community involved in sharing the burden of security for the world, and has America there to help with economic growth around the world, as well as to enhance economic growth in this country by not spending the treasure of this nation on increased armaments.
Right.
So we're looking at a $550 billion budget for the Pentagon within the next 10 years. That's going to rob us of our ability to have good education and good health care systems, and to enable us to have the kind of housing that America ought to have. And really, the strength of our communities is going to be sapped by this kind of profligate spending for the Pentagon. And I hope to take America in a new direction, which can not only achieve national security through protecting this nation militarily, but we have to go far beyond that. We have to redefine what we mean by the national interest. I say health care for all is in the national interest.
Mm-hmm.
Education for all is in the national interest. Jobs for all is in the national interest. And as we redefine our national interest and have the cause of nationhood be consistent with the fullness as expressed in the preamble of the Constitution, we are then on the path towards an America of our dreams, an America of our founders, an America that is that of our highest aspirations, instead of an America which is locked into fear at this moment.
Really?
And mm-hmm. an America that is just sometimes waiting for the next shoe to drop.
Mm-hmm.
We can go beyond the fear. We're not a nation of victims. We're a nation of people of strong hearts and great spirits, and I want to help call that forth again for the people of this country, and I'm ready to do it.
The last question is coming here, Congressman. I apologize for the abruptness of the questions. I hope next time we talk, it can be a little bit more conversationally about your ongoing campaign to become the people's president, which I believe is your turn. Last question, is there anything you'd like to discuss about your platform and how people can join your campaign?
Well, the campaign is essentially a grassroots effort. I mean, I've been traveling the country for the last 4 months speaking about my candidacy. But it's the response that I'm getting from people, the hundreds and sometimes thousands of people who show up and want to make a difference, because no one candidate can do it all by himself or herself. A grassroots campaign, the kind of campaign that I'm running, very community-based, reaches out to people at a neighborhood level and inspires people to get involved, to show how one person can make a difference, talking to your neighbors and friends, knocking on doors, making phone calls, going out and putting up signs. I mean, these are all, this is part of the basic political approach which I've used my whole career. And through connecting with tens of thousands of communities, we hope to make this the approach that is used in the presidential campaign. And so I'm kind of wedding the old style politics of knocking on doors to the new technologies of the web and getting people involved through email as well as organizing communities around various concerns and issues. People, if I may, let people know our website is kucinich.us. That's KUCINICH.US. And we have information there on issues and latest news and things that I'm involved in Washington, as well as appearances I'll be making around the country. And we ask people to participate. And people have been. And it's really exciting to have a chance not only to go out and to meet America, but to see America's response and to see how people still are yearning for something that gets us out of this pall that's been dropped across our country that cloaks America in fear and in foreboding, when we're really a country that is much closer in resonance to the theme that Francis Scott Key put in the Star-Spangled Banner. We are the land of the free and the home of the brave. We have to get back in touch with those rhythms that connect us with our with the deeper meaning of our national experience. And I that's what my campaign's about. It's really about reaching out to people and to getting people involved in creating the America of our dreams. And I'm grateful to have the chance to do that. And Mike, I'm so appreciative of your support and the chance to be on this show. It's an honor, and I thank all of your listeners for sending in the questions. I'm grateful to hear your concerns, and I look forward to having another opportunity to engage both you, Mike, and your audience.
Sounds great. Congressman Kucinich, thank you very much for taking time to join us tonight.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Good night. It's about 19 before the hour, and I'm sorry we did not get. I had a whole stack of questions here for Congressman Kucinich, but we will get to them. You hear that? That's the stack, and the stack is being set right over here in the special stack. I've got four stacks. This is the special stack spot. So the next time we have Congressman Kucinich on, we will address those questions. With him. And again, what we tried to do is, as you can well imagine, there were themes with all the questions. We must have gotten, I don't know, via email and via that website, there must have been 100 questions. But in so many instances, they were variations on a theme. So what we tried to do is just come up with the ones that were the most common in the requests that you made. And we'll save the questions that we didn't get to, the questions about gun control, the questions about the abortion rights. What else did we have that we didn't get to? The gag rule that would stop USAID to foreign health groups who do not specifically prohibit abortion. Also the Middle East. If you're a politician, or a candidate, how do you answer a question about the Middle East? George Bush was asked a question about the Middle East today. Boy, did he have, he had one of his typical George Bush answers. He was with two European Union leaders, the Greek Prime Minister Samitis and the President of the European Council, and President of the European Commission. But these people really give themselves titles, don't they? Anyway, the three of them are standing there, and the reporter wants to know about this roadmap for Mideast peace. Reporters said there are reports that there is a ceasefire agreement among Hamas and a few other Palestinian organizations that they promised to stop the violence for at least 3 months. What do you know about that, Mr. President? And what, if true, do you expect to happen next from both sides, both Israelis and Palestinians? Well, that's the question. Bush comes up with his typical monkey-like, just kind of bitchin' bully answer.
I'll believe it when I see it, knowing the history of the terrorists in the Middle East. But the true test for Hamas and terrorist organizations is the complete dismantlement of their terrorist networks, their capacity to blow up the peace process. That's the true test.
Yeah, okay, that's the true test, right, right. Now, I want to play one more for you. This would be a good time here. He's still with the same two EU leaders, the Greek prime minister and the president of the European Commission. And I love this one. A reporter asked the president of the European Commission, President Prodi, I believe his name is. The reporter asked Prodi a question, but Bush keeps interrupting as the other guy tries to answer. Now, maybe Bush got a bit confused. The reporter asked, Mr. Prodi, when you discussed Iran with President Bush, did you raise the question what would happen if Iran does not comply to sign up to enhanced international inspections?
We discussed deeply about Iran.
Iran must comply. I mean, the free world expects Iran to comply. Just leave it at that. See, you're assuming they won't. We believe they will when the free world comes together.
I tell you that the dialogue...
And if they don't, we'll deal with that when they don't.
But we have to be sure that doesn't constitute a danger to future peace. We have to be absolutely sure.
The world speaks together, they'll comply.
How do you like that, huh? Isn't that nice? There he is, little monkey boy. You know, a dignified, I don't know, the guy might be a total fascist. Who knows? Prodi. I don't know him from Adam's house cat. But wouldn't just common fourth grade, you learned it in Sunday school, common courtesy say, shut up, George. Let the man answer the question. How many times interrupted him? Once, twice, three times, four times interrupted him in the space of a simple question. God. When you listen to the Bush bastard after hearing Kucinich, you realize just how we're being represented by somebody who is so far out of his league, just so far out of his league. This little Bush punk, what an embarrassment to this country! What an embarrassment! How do you deal with that?
Don't listen. Don't comply. I don't care if it's Iran or Syria or any of them other places like that there, over there, and, you know. And if they don't comply, we'll just bomb them. We'll bomb them. That's what we'll do. You know, I've been talking with God. God told me to go after Al-Qaeda, and I did. And God told me to go after Saddam, and I did. I do what God tells me to do. And he only comes, you know, late at night when Pickle or Laura is asleep and the girls are out drinking or the girls are out praying, and everybody's doing stuff other places. And he comes to me and stands right there at the foot of my bed. And he tells me, God tells me who to kill next. And I think I'm crazy. But nobody'll help me. I thought I was crazy for a long time. I asked Billy Graham's son to help me, and he wouldn't help me. And I was a drunk and a drug user, and Pickles was ready to leave me, and the girls were drunks too, and I thought, and they were only 6 years old, and I thought, I need some help. And what did they do? They did this to me. They made me president. I don't belong here. I'm not. I just want to go back and run the Texas Rangers and execute people. I don't. I'm not equipped to be president. I don't know. They're all jacking me around. I mean, they're jacking me around, okay? You know, I don't know who these freaks are next to me, these people with these foreign names. Uncle Dick tells me to do this, and Rummy tells me to do that, and everybody tells me to do things, and Ken Lay's sneaking around in the basement, and I have to sit down once a month with Dad and Mom and Reverend Sun Myung Moon, and we all sit there, and I don't want to be here. I'm crazy. It's making me crazy. They put me on medication. I'm taking what everybody around here takes. I take Halcyon. And nothing's helping. I need some help. I do, and I can't do this. I'm liable to nuke somebody next. I'm just losing it. Don't you people understand? I'm just losing it. And then I got this Dennis Kucinich and all these people running around talking about departments of peace and everything. I can't. you know, it was just a lot easier back when I was drilling for oil and in the ocean and stuff. You know, I didn't want to be president. I never wanted to be president. I didn't want to be president. That's just something my dad cooked up. You know, my dad said, well, it'd be a lot easier with me and the Carlyle Group and you in the White House. So we, you know, we can make war and make money. You know, Jeb, he wanted Jeb anyway. But, you know, Jeb's married to a Mexican. You know, that won't work in this country. So they come to me. I don't want anything to do with this. I didn't. You know, I'm crazy. I'm going to start eating live small animals here in a minute. I'm just crazy. And now I think God's telling me who to bomb. I don't know. It's just crazy. I can't take it.
Hi, Dad. Hi, Grandpa.
Hey, Janet. Hey, Barbara. You made the front page for drinking underage.
I certainly never dreamt that I'd be the president.
You're a chip off the block.
Tell me why.
You're using that fake
ID. Tell me why.
You can't resist a party.
Tell me what you become acting that way.
I don't know. President someday?
I've got no experience running this land from running a baseball club, yeah.
That's okay, son, I will end.
Mom, Dad,
someone's gonna try and get me to take drugs.
Wanna do something about it?
You're gonna have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with. Every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tuck, you gotta be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when. Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Hey, Mom, here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-Day Sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Hi, folks. Jesse Ventura here to talk to you about InPhone, the advanced, enhanced, totally modern directory assistance available all across this great country of ours. Just dial 888-411-1111, and the super-friendly operator will help you access phone numbers or movie times, even driving directions to the theater. So call InPhone at 888-411-1111 and tell them Governor Jesse sent you. InPhone, how can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
When I wear black, even a little dandruff shows. And my old dandruff shampoo just wasn't cutting it. I still had flakes and dry scalp. So I switched to Celsin Blue Moisturizing Shampoo with aloe and moisturizers. Doctor recommended Celsin Blue has a proven ingredient to relieve dandruff. Plus, it keeps my hair and scalp healthy and flake-free.
If you see flakes, try Celsin Blue. Celsin Blue Moisturizing Dandruff Shampoo.
I'm telling you, it really works.
Never wear black without the blue. Celsin Blue. Use as directed.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Gold in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, posting on our message board.
The doorbell rang and I answered the door. Just as I finished posting how fed up I am with Bush, what a surprise. The guy standing in front of my door was very Republican look about him. His first words to me were, "Hi, I am your Republican precinct captain." Boy, has this guy got the wrong address, I said to myself. But not before I made it known to him that I consider Bush a menace to America. He started squirming and glancing around the front of my house. Our junkie responds. He says, "I remember when the only people we had to worry about meeting on our doorsteps were Jehovah's Witness crusaders. Now we have right-wingers. That's really scary." How to scare off door-to-door Republican visitors. And Klaus adds, "Well, answering the door naked can have the desired effect."
For Christ's sake, will you cover yourself?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by recruiting will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. 800 talk, yes. We got who? Who's on the newsmaker line? George W. Hello?
Hi, I'm from Texas.
Yeah.
It's an anonymous call.
Yeah.
But I'd like some equal time because you had that kitchen fella on.
Okay, go ahead.
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions that you got left over.
Oh, okay. Let's see here. In the past, it appeared that you supported the or that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you, George W., have enforced that would stop USAID to foreign health groups who practice abortions. What's your position on that, George?
Well, Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can understand. All right. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him. Okay.
Gonna kill him.
All right. Well, you are known to be very quick. What do you think of the Department of Peace?
What?
Okay, let's move right along. What are your thoughts on gay marriages?
Those people are disgusting me.
Uh-huh, but gay marriages.
I don't understand why they want to get married.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Are you interested, George, in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction or the things you said to the public that got us into the war in Iraq?
The weapons of mass production are there. We found two trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah.
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Okay, so that would make it obviously
if
a weapon.
They flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah, that's true. This amendment to make it a crime to burn the U.S. flag, do you have a position on that? It keeps popping up every session of Congress.
Well, when I become elected again, I will get rid of the flag completely and replace it with my coat of arms.
With your coat of arms?
Yes, with the Bush family coat of arms.
I
so burning the American flag is not an issue.
It's okay.
Burn away, baby.
Okay. All right. Last question, George.
Last question, because I really do have to go before Karl Rove finds out I'm on the phone again.
I know. Last question. The media are starting to question you just a little bit. How are you going to handle that?
I own the media.
That's right. Okay. Thank you, George. I appreciate you checking in, sir. It's way past your bedtime.
Yes, it is, Mickey.
All right.
Okay.
You have a nice evening. You never know who's going to show up on the newsmaker line, do you? Quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. The Country Music Association will likely pay tribute to Johnny Cash at their annual awards ceremony in November. Cash died this morning at a Nashville hospital from complications from diabetes. He was 71. CMA Executive Director Ed Benson says the Man in Black brought a larger audience to the CMA Awards broadcast when he hosted the show in the 1960s.
I don't think the CMA Awards would be where they are in terms of prestige as an event today had it not been for Johnny Cash. So certainly it'll be fitting for us to do some kind of recognition in the show on November 5th.
Cash is nominated for 4 CMA Awards this year. He set a record in 1969 by winning 5 awards in a single night. That record has been matched several times, but never broken.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of 3 herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke Free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke Free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke Free completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
Despite rumors of a historic three-way pact between the United Auto Workers and the Big Three automakers, there's no sign yet of a contract agreement. Rumors were circulating yesterday that an announcement of a contract was imminent and would come as early as last night or this morning. UAW President Ron Gettelfinger is widely thought to want a contract agreement before a big AFL-CIO labor fest being held tomorrow at Ford Field in Detroit. So-called bargain airfares may not be the great deal those in the travel industry make them out to be. U.S. Transportation Department officials say that sometimes carriers, travel agents, and internet sites don't clearly display some of the other costs associated with these promotions. They note that while certain fees and taxes can be listed separately from advertised fares, they still must be easily seen on the ads. The government agency warns that any ticket vendors not clearly conveying that additional taxes and fees applied could face legal action. Nike has reached a $1.5 million settlement in a lawsuit filed by a labor activist in California. Laura Iyama has more.
Labor activists have charged that Nike's athletic footwear and other products are made in sweatshops in developing nations. Nike defends against those charges by making statements and issuing press releases. A San Francisco labor activist had sued Nike for making a false advertising claim when it said it protects labor rights at its overseas factories. The California State Supreme Court upheld that lawsuit. Rather than go to trial, Nike has settled the case. The company will pay $1.5 million to the Fair Labor Association to strengthen monitoring of the workplace and programs for overseas factory workers. Lori Yama, Washington.
Whether you've got bald tires, a flat tire, old tires, or are just tired of looking at white walls, there's no better time to pick up a new set of Goodyear tires than during National Automotive Month at Sears Auto Center. Because Goodyear tires are all on sale. And get a free DieHard Weather Handler battery worth $59.99 when you buy four Goodyear tires. Just bring in your old battery and we'll exchange it free. But only during National Automotive Month and only at Sears Auto Center. Sears, good life, great price. Sale and free battery offer end 8/23. Find us online at Sears.com or America Online, keyword Sears.
The condition that may have killed actor John Ritter at the age of 54 is known as aortic dissection, or a total blowout of the wall leading to the heart. George Washington University Hospital cardiologist Dr. David Pearl describes what the disorder is.
An aortic dissection is a partial rupture of the aorta. Under certain circumstances, the aorta can just rupture, and usually the patient will just bleed to death right at the point of the rupture.
Dr. Pearl says Ritter could have had the problem a long time without ever knowing it because frequently there are no warnings and no symptoms. Stocks managed to overcome some weak economic news to end the day in positive territory. The Dow Jones posted a gain of 12 points to 94.72. The NASDAQ was up 9 to 18.55. The S&P 500 is up 2 to end the week at 10.19. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Think of your favorite child. Now think of your favorite child again in your car. What can you do to ensure that child will live to become a favorite adult? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Okay, so you want one good reason to get LoJack installed in your car. Well, unfortunately, I can't give you that, but I can give you three. LoJack has a 90% recovery success rate. LoJack has helped recover over 100,000 vehicles worldwide. And LoJack is the only stolen vehicle recovery system used by the police. So if you still want just one good reason to get LoJack, that last one should do quite nicely. To find a dealer near you, visit LoJack.com. And keep it close.
How do you protect your most precious cargo? Safety seats, which reduce infant death risk by 69% and toddler by 47%. Infant seats from birth to 1 year should be installed rear-facing in the back seat. These often convert to front-facing for toddlers under 4 years and 40 pounds. Booster seats are suitable for children 4 to 8, but not until a child is over 80 pounds and 8 years old are regular seat belts proper restraints. Whatever their age, when you think of your favorite children, picture them buckled up, then do it. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. Okay, where in the hell is everybody tonight? I'm running out of steam. I started too hard and fast at the beginning of the program, and I don't know, the meds are wearing off, the booze is wearing off, everything's wearing off, and you know, I stopped smoking about 6 months ago, so I can't even do that anymore. So how about calling in and liven up the program a little bit? 800-825-5937. If you have any comments about what Congressman Kucinich had to say, that'd be great. Although I'm sure he didn't say anything you all don't already know. But it's good to hear the man live and in a forum like this one. And again, I apologize to... It's just kind of weird to me to have, like, pre-submit your questions and then we will ask. But, you know, when you're on a limited time frame like that, I guess it's just the best way. The next time we have him on, we're going to try two things. A, to get him here for an hour. And secondly, to make it just like more of an open kind of forum where you can talk to him. We just knew that we had half an hour, which translates really down to 22 minutes. And he was gracious enough to stay for an extra 4. And you can just, you know, I hate, that's one of the things I hate about radio. It's a medium of time, and that damn clock just keeps moving and moving and moving and moving. And since the program is engineered at the home office in Detroit, and they're on a certain schedule, they can't, it doesn't make any difference if somebody's in the middle of a sentence. They've got to hit that button, or the computer hits the button, and, you know, they go on with the commercials or the PSAs or the promos or other programs or what have you. So we'll try to lighten it up, or loosen it up, I should say, the next time Kucinich is on. And we also, I just want you to understand this, we have made offers to through a third party, to Howard Dean. We're going to directly invite him on the program. And beyond those two, at this point, I'm just, I don't know, I kind of hesitate. Several people have emailed and said, what about Kerry? Maybe we could, you know, maybe we could do that. But beyond these three, I'm not interested. Unless we get just an overwhelming amount of requests for Gephardt or Lieberman, right, or Mosley Braun, or Al Sharpton. Wait a minute, my producer's saying so. Open your mic and say it.
I would have Howard Dean on.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
You were screening a call. That's what I just said. We are through a third party in New Mexico. We are working on that. Now, as far as the other candidates are concerned, if we get a reasonable amount of requests for these other people, we'll try. It's just I personally am going to make no effort. I'm not interested in having Dick Gephardt on. I'm not interested in having anybody from the DLC on. I just am not. And a lot of people say, well, what about John Kerry? I understand. Kerry, we might relax the situation a little bit. But it's up to y'all. I just don't think people who listen to this program are the least bit interested in hearing Gephardt or Lieberman what's the guy, Edwards. I just don't think you are. Carol Mosley Braun, I'm sorry, but she's as much of a candidate for the presidency as I am. Al Sharpton, you never know about the Rev, but if you demand it, we'll produce it. Mac is calling from Santa Fe. Mac, welcome to the program.
Hi there. I'd like to try to articulate as clearly as possible what I think I'm thinking.
Is this Bush again?
I hung up on him.
Yeah, well, take a shot at it, Mac. Go ahead. Try to articulate.
No, Mr. Kucinich was a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, he is.
He was coherent. And he didn't sound to me like he was trying to memorize or remember what somebody wrote for him.
Yeah, no kidding.
He was in charge of what he was saying, and he was going to say it, and he said it in his own way. Mm-hmm. And I had the sense that he was looking out over the United States, and he had the people that were there, and he was listening to us, and trying to make sense about what is going on. But it was really a welcome relief from Mr. What's-his-name.
I think Dennis Kucinich, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind whatsoever. He is definitely connected to the American people. I think Howard Dean, maybe a few degrees less. I'm not saying anything negative about Howard Dean, but I think Howard Dean is, if not connected to the American public, he's damn sure trying. The rest of them are going to spout what their consultants and their advisors and their speechwriters say, and that's pretty much the long and short of it, including, although he's apparently trying to make an effort not to, including John Kerry. Kerry is... Kerry's a politician, and that it might sound like, well, so is Kucinich and Dean. But you know what I mean, Mac, when I say somebody's a politician. I think Kerry and Dean are both running for public office. I think they're trying their damnedest. But I don't think, and this may just be pure naivete on my part, but I don't think they are politicians in the sense that that Gephardt or Lieberman or even Kerry are politicians. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and another thing along this line, you were talking about who you were interested in and who you weren't, I think you've got to remember that you're in the driver's seat as far as selecting people and inviting people to come on that we can hear. Personally, I'd like to hear a couple of the others, but you are in the spot there, and I think you're...
Well, I'll make that a vote to hear some of the other candidates. You're right. I host the program, and for the most part, we make the decisions. On the other hand, this is pretty serious business, and I want to respond as best I can. If people want to hear Edwards, if people want to hear Gephardt, if people want to hear Carol Moseley Braun, and enough people respond that way, I'll do my damnedest, and so will my producer, Mac, to get them on the air.
Good enough.
Okay.
Well, this has been good. But as far as today is concerned, it was a real breath of fresh air.
It was indeed.
Real great.
It was indeed.
Thanks, and get somebody else ready to come on.
I'll do it. Thanks, Mac. Take care. You. All right. You have a nice evening. What did Max say? I'm trying to articulate what my mind is telling me. Is there something? James is calling from DeKalb County, Georgia. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Homeboy. Well, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, right?
Yep, sure is.
Well, here you are.
Yeah, this is me. that was very interesting.
What, Kucinich?
Yeah. He's a pretty cool sounding fella.
Have you been to his website?
I have.
Okay, I read
through most of his platform.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I've seen I don't agree with him on is affirmative action, but, you know.
What do you mean?
I just don't agree with it, but, you know, he's for it, I'm really not. But other than that...
Well, that sounds like something we can talk about. Now, when you talk about affirmative action, first of all, how do you define it?
Well, it's giving preference to somebody because they're a minority.
I would disagree that it's giving preference. I would say that given the history of this country and our absolute insistence that so-called minorities, women, are denied, were denied historically so much. They were not given a chance at education.
Of course. Absolutely.
They were not given a chance to amass wealth. They were not given a chance to own property. They were not given a chance. And when I say not given a chance, I mean they were systematically, either de facto or by law, they were denied a chance to participate in the American dream for hundreds of years. So my response to the idea of affirmative action is, by God, bring it on. Affirmative action has been painted by the right wing as, well, the white man gets fired so the black man can have a job, which is not the case. It is not the case. You know, Maynard Jackson just died the other day, as you know.
Yeah.
Maynard Jackson used affirmative action where it concerned the city of Atlanta in its business dealings with contractors. And what he said was that a certain percentage of the big construction contracts, whether it was the airport or office buildings or whatever, as long as the city had to sanction this, that there would be minority participation. The reason affirmative action has to be applied is because white people have systematically and determinedly blocked black folk or Latino folk or in some instances women from advancing, from sharing in the so-called big pie. Now, we have affirmative action for white people where it concerns universities, and I guess it would apply to blacks too, but it's been primarily a white thing. The only reason George Bush went to Yale and Harvard is because his family members went there. That's the worst kind of affirmative action, because that takes a stupid moron like Bush and gives him a slot at a university that is designed to turn out people who will then be educated. George Bush is no more educated than my house cat. So as far as affirmative action, I'm strongly in favor of it. And I'm in favor of it because of the history, the racist history of this country. If this country had never indulged in the satanic idea of slavery, I mean actually owning human beings, if we had never passed laws that said if you teach a slave to read, you are subject to going to jail, If we didn't have the miserable, sick history that we've got, I would say, no, of course not. Everybody just step up to the plate.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't disagree with you. White people suck.
Well, no, it's not that white people suck. It's that the laws that have been forced onto people in this country since before this country was a country, those laws that denied especially black folk the right to an education, the right to amass fortune, the right to own property, the right to an inheritance, the end result we have a so-called underclass in this country, and not because this group or that group is stupid or less able to learn and invest and build and run a business, but because they were denied the skills to do that. So
right.
I'm 1,000%, 1,000,000% in favor of affirmative action.
What about in the case of the University of Michigan, where they were giving minorities?
Absolutely, absolutely, especially at the university level, especially. Hey, listen, James, there's the music. Thanks for checking in, pal. I hope you call again. Good to hear from you. Quick break. We'll be right back.
There's room in this land for every race. Some folk think that freedom just ain't right. Those are the very people I want to fight. That's why I'm marching. Yes, I'm marching. Marching down freedom's road.
Hey, Mom, here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-day sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Show.
According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody. What do we do with those folks? We arrest them. They are jailed. In some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say, wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
Yeah.
is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you
it's
hate me?
True.
You
why,
hate
why
me?
Why don't put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Raymond is calling from Cement City, Michigan. Raymond, this is your first time calling, right?
Yeah, first time on the Mike Malloy Show. Good,
well,
good to get in here tonight.
Well, welcome aboard. Where is Cement City?
Well, it's in. It's about 100 miles west of Detroit, south of Jackson, and it's a real solid community.
There you go. Jackson being the capital.
No, Lansing.
Oh, that's right, Lansing's. That's all right. Well, so much for my Michigan geography. But that's not why you called, Raymond.
Yeah, what I wanted to bring up tonight, Mike, is that, you know, there's this draft Wesley Clark for president movement going on. And, boy, I'm looking at that real hard. I think a couple things appeal to me in that. Hopefully that... he will get into the fray so we can really see where he is in this, but I think he has the qualifications to be a leader in the country and lead the country, and I think he has values that are consistent with a lot of the progressive views. And I think a third thing that I think is real important is given those two things and he gets into the fray, I think he's more electable than the other candidates that the Democrats have because he's a fresh face that I would think would appeal to the independents, to the Democrats, and it would pull over a lot of maybe Republicans that are dissatisfied. And I think we need somebody who can win because we can't afford to lose too many elections because there might not be too many free elections.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's...
Well, if I can jump in here, the last time we elected a general, I believe, was Dwight Eisenhower. And, you know, you have to go all the way back to 1952, so we're talking half a century ago. I said on this program that given the nature of the world that and the fact that we have a military, that I do believe, or I did believe, that anyone who runs for president or anyone who gets elected president should probably have had some military service and possibly even in a combat situation, because most people who have experienced combat come away from it you know, unless they're war hogs, they come away with it come away from it with a clear understanding that it's a total breakdown of the human spirit, of rational thought. It's a breakdown of reason. It's destructive and so on and so forth. But I think I've modified that position a little bit, especially after listening closely to Dennis Kucinich and his position on a Department of Peace.
Mm-hmm.
There are other ways to approach global problems. It's just that we recently haven't tried those different approaches. And I don't know that we ever have the approach of engagement and cooperation. You know, we are the biggest dog in the pound. Nobody can mess with us. If somebody makes a threatening move to the United States, the fact is their country, and I don't care if it's China, Russia, or Somalia, their country can be turned into glass in about 46 minutes. So since we do have this incredibly awesome power, why not start focusing on people in leadership positions who believe in, as Kucinich puts it, a Department of Peace, that the idea of engagement, whether it's in our homes, our communities, or globally, that makes more sense if the human race is going to survive. Now, as far as the real politic of Wesley Clark, he might be a good balance on a ticket. I haven't completely turned away from that idea. We can only be so idealistic. We also have to consider that without somebody with a clear understanding of the military on a Democratic Party ticket, the Republicans would just slash and burn, and the American public is so stupid, basically, that they would go along with it. So your idea is not without merit. I certainly don't want to argue Wesley Clark's qualifications, but I would like to see him as maybe in the secondary spot. Raymond, there's the music. Thank you. I hope you're going to call again, pal.
Okay, great.
All right, sir. Take care. Appreciate your call.
Hey, Mom, here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-day sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. It took only a year and a half, but an Enron executive is finally going to jail. Former Enron treasurer Ben Gleason was sentenced to 5 years in a federal minimum security prison Wednesday for helping mastermind a series of fake transactions which inflated Enron's bottom line by billions of dollars. Gleason will also pay $1.4 million in penalties. While in prison, Gleason will put in seven-hour work days, either serving food in the cafeteria or doing landscape work. 18 other Enron executives face criminal charges. The next will go to trial in April. Meanwhile, former CEO Kenneth Lay and Chief Financial Officer Jeffrey Skilling, considered the linchpins in the Enron pyramid, have not yet been charged.
Angry protests outside meetings of the World Trade Organization in Cancun. Tens of thousands of farmers, environmentalists, and labor activists converged outside the WTO's fifth ministerial meeting in the resort town as riot police clashed with hundreds of protesters. Inside the meeting, the most heated debate centered around the United States' insistence that other countries accept genetically modified food grown in the U.S. U.S. Ag Secretary Ann Veneman.
We want to eliminate export subsidies, the most egregious form of trade distortion. We want to significantly expand market access. Our goal is to greatly reduce trade barriers that prevent trade and economic expansion.
But many countries find expanded trade in genetically modified food hard to swallow. Korean rice farmer Lee Kyung-hee took his own life in protest outside the WTO talks Wednesday, calling attention to the plight of South Korea's rice farmers who have been devastated by WTO policies.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, as
you
I wasn't know. Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephan's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
No subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
27 before the hour. By the way, our webmaster, Mark Marshall, says that the interview with Kucinich in its entirety will be posted on the site, front page, by 1 o'clock in the morning Eastern Time. So If you want to hear the just the interview portion, I believe that's what he's referring to. No commercials, no breaks. Just the interview portion, the Q&A portion, I should say. It'll be at MikeMalloy.com on the main page in about 2 hours. Okay? Isn't he a great webmaster? He really is. Now, if he would just send me the Dreamweaver program so that we can post pictures and stuff. Robin is calling from Victor, West Virginia. Hey, Robin.
Hey, good evening, Mike. Hey. I'm awful glad to hear Mr. Kucinich on there. And yeah. I got to thinking, I think there is a circumstance where you would want to have Lieberman or Gephardt on your show.
All right. Tell me what that would be.
You would. I think you should offer them exclusivity of your show to when the time comes for them to come on and announce that they're bowing out of the race in the face of the Kucinich juggernaut.
Okay, duly noted. That would be good.
And just a couple of other bouncing around kind of notes. We pay attention up here to the things that the Bushistas do,
mm-hmm.
and coming from their school of you save trees by cutting them down, you clean the air by polluting it. Well,
you save the mountains in West Virginia by chopping the tops off.
Not just that. Recently, the Bush-driven Mine Safety and Health Administration was proposing new rules whereby we would reduce coal dust for coal miners by allowing more coal dust in the mines.
Jesus.
But oddly enough, that one got shut down because even the operators, the operators and the miners, and it was a miracle, got together. And both of them said it was stupid.
Well, you know, a dead miner is not a productive miner.
No, but you know, generally the management side of it, you know, they worry more about a raindrop falling on a piece of equipment because that piece of equipment might rust. You can always get another miner.
That's right. You can. You certainly can.
But and one last suggestion, based on the tenor of some of the commentary I've been hearing. While we talk about the relative merits of our favorite Democratic presidential candidates, let's do remember Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment.
Speak no ill of any other Republican.
Exactly.
And replace the word Democrat. Yeah, it's that's hard to not do, speak ill of other Democrats, because I'm only speaking for myself now, but I think that a lot of people feel this way. The Democratic Party and the people who presume to speak for the Democratic Party have so miserably misled the party. It's just difficult not to to. But I guess it's pointing out the obvious. But you're right. You know, just like Grandma said, if you can't say something nice about somebody, don't say anything.
And you know, one of the things that I remember most is, and that you hear a lot of the right wing hate radio people saying, is that if you recall the Dukakis campaign, that it was actually Al Gore who brought up Willie Horton long before George the First ever did.
Yeah, back during the primaries. Right. That's
so,
true.
You know, that kind of thing's worth remembering. And from the entertainment side of things, Mike, I urge you to bring back a poetry slam. I personally would be willing to do my hip-hop version of Green Eggs and Ham.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, we're considering it. We're considering it for sure. Robin, thanks for checking in, pal.
Yeah, you have a great night, Mike.
All right, sir. You too. You know, he makes a good point about Reagan's 11th commandment. Political commandment, not to speak ill of other Republicans. Robin's absolutely correct. Maybe we should try our damnedest here, Kathy, to adopt that attitude of if you can't say something nice, just don't say anything. Might be a good idea. Kathy's calling from Athens, Georgia. Hey, Kathy.
Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
Well, not well. I have a cold.
Oh, poor baby.
But I watched Crossfire tonight, and Wesley Clark was on.
Mm-hmm.
I think more than anything, he's going to offer his services as a vice presidential candidate.
Is that the feeling you got from listening to him?
That's what I think, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about him is he's not afraid to call it what it is. And he was asked what he thought about the president's landing on the aircraft carrier.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, you know, he should go to see the troops. But that was inappropriate.
Yeah, well, if Mr. Bush wants to go see the troops, he might want to go to Basra or Baghdad He might want to go visit the frontline troops who, by the way, it's my understanding from many sources, not just U.S. News sources, but foreign news sources, too, that some of the troops, our troops in Iraq, are getting close to mutiny. The general feeling is, I think I understand, is that these are the people that were assigned the killing and the bombing and the destruction. In other words, they were sent over there to do what soldiers are told to do.
Right.
Go kill people, break things up, and then we win. Try not to be killed yourself, but if you do get killed, well, you died for flag and country and mom. You don't use people who have just bombed and killed, which we hire them and train them and send them to do. You don't use the same people then to be so-called peacekeepers, people who now, after bombing and killing, are supposed to relate on a human level to the people they have just totally dominated.
Right.
And these young boys, I'm sorry, I will call them boys.
They are.
To me, anyone 18, 19, 20 years old is a boy, if he's male. If she's female, she's a girl. These young boys, and to a lesser extent the young girls, are absolutely, absolutely unequipped emotionally, physically, logically, or mentally to shift from being killers to peacekeepers in the space of a week. It cannot be done. And the result is we have soldiers killing civilians. We have people killing our soldiers. We have utter and absolute chaos there. Now, once we have taken over, as we have taken over, then there has to be a diminishing of the military presence. And if we were a country that really had any values at all, if we had a leadership that had any values, I should say, the forces in Iraq, our soldiers, would be withdrawn, and an international peacekeeping force that did not just go in there and kill and bomb and destroy would be put in its place.
Yes.
So as long as we have a military presence there, and apparently we're going to have a military presence there for the foreseeable future, it'll be a long time, we are going to have more dead Americans, we are going to have more dead Iraqis, and there will never, ever, ever be a democracy, which was not the intent of our invasion anyway.
Right.
There will never be peace, there will never be order. There will be chaos, and the civilian population of Iraq is beginning to hate us as viciously as an occupied population hates any occupying army. So we're in a world of trouble where it concerns our troops there. As far as Bush going to see the troops, in his mind would be like you or I going to the zoo to look at the animals. He has that much respect for our soldiers, which is to say nothing, absolutely nothing.
The other thing about Wesley Clark is that he's not afraid to answer the questions about where the weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
And what was the reason for going into Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And he expounded on that a little bit by saying, well, the war, they've been planning this since 1997.
Yeah.
And the day after 9/11 is when they decided to go for it. They needed something like that in order to be able to do it.
Yeah, they needed the lie. They needed to convince enough of the American people, a big enough percentage, that Saddam Hussein was responsible for the terrorist attack on this country, and they succeeded.
Well, he's not going to be afraid to get out there and say it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I wanted to say.
Well, thank you. I hope you feel better soon, Kathy.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for checking in. Wesley Clark is worth paying attention to. Speaking of generals saying things in front of the Senate Armed Services Committee, Lieutenant General John Abizaid, I believe that's how you pronounce it. He is Lebanese-American. He speaks, it's my understanding, he speaks fluent Arabic. He is going to be the military presence who's going to take the place of General Tommy Franks. Now, I want you to hear a couple of things. Senator Patrick Leahy asked him a question about the U.S., quote, intelligence, close quote, on weapons of mass destruction in Iraq prior to the war. This is a three-part answer. Listen to it.
Senator, I believe that my overall assessment of how intelligence served us throughout the campaign would be that intelligence was the most accurate that I've ever seen on the tactical level. Probably the best I've ever seen on the operational level. And perplexingly incomplete on the strategic level with regard to weapons of mass destruction.
Now, this is a guy who can speak military ease, right? The most accurate I've ever seen on the tactical level, the best I've ever seen on the operational level, and perplexingly incomplete. Perplexingly incomplete on the strategic level with regards to weapons of mass destruction. He likes the word perplexing. Continuing to answer Leahy's questions about U.S. intelligence on weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, the general said this.
But it is perplexing to me, Senator, that we have not found weapons of mass destruction when the evidence was so pervasive that it would exist. After your visit, I called in my intelligence staff, and I put my intelligence professionals around the table. I said, is there anybody around this table who believes we will not find weapons of mass destruction in Iraq? And to a man and to a woman, they all said we would find it.
Well, then, General, you need to fire your intelligence professionals and get a new crop, pal, because obviously you're a lieutenant general, which means you're just what you probably have 3 stars. A lieutenant general, you've got 3 stars. You're bucking for that 4th star like Tommy has. So what? Your intelligence staff, your intelligence professionals are going to say to you, well, actually, John, there ain't no there, dude. No, they're not. They're going to tell you what you want to hear. That's what chain of command is all about. And see, this is a reason that I do not think that somebody of flag rank should be president of the United States. I just don't think so, because they're not used to hearing or abiding dissenting opinion. The military is chain of command. Civilian government is, or was until the Bush crime family took over, compromise between 3 branches of government. Military commanders on that level, you know, once you get that 1st star, hell, once you're a full colonel, it's very difficult for you to tolerate disagreement. You may listen to disagreement on a strategic level, but if that's not what you think, and you're the general, you just say, okay, thanks for your input. Now let's do what I said, and everybody snaps too. There is no discussion or debate once it gets to that level. And when this general says it's perplexing to me, Senator, that we have not found weapons of mass destruction when the evidence was so pervasive that it would exist, then I call into question the man's sanity. What evidence, Lieutenant General John Abizaid, are you talking about? Are you talking about the evidence Colin Powell presented regarding a shipment of uranium from an African country to Saddam? Is that what you're talking about? Evidence that was a lie? Are you talking about the evidence that was presented that was 12 years old from a graduate thesis from a student at the University of California? Is that the evidence you're talking about? Are you talking about, General, the evidence of the little papier-mâché airplanes that were supposed to deliver nuclear bombs or chemical bombs on the United States? What evidence are you talking about, General John? Now, the fact that he speaks fluent Arabic means that he is probably a cut above, at least linguistically, General Tommy Franks. But anyone who can sit in front of a Senate committee, Senate Armed Services Committee, and answer quite the evidence was so pervasive. What evidence? These people scare me. Marge is calling from Maryville, Indiana. Hey, Marge.
Hi there. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Yeah, I'm like, I think it must be catching whatever your other caller had. I got two.
Well, just stay back a little bit away from the phone.
Don't make me laugh. I'll start hacking.
All right.
When you were talking to Dennis Kucinich earlier, he referred to a Supreme Court ruling that had to do with a corporations getting free speech. It was Buckley versus what? Do you remember?
I do not. I'm not very good at remembering court cases, but now that you've brought it up, I will get 7 emails here very quickly identifying the case. And
okay.
The next time you call in, I'll have Kathy tell you. But I don't know what that case was.
I thought he said Buckley versus something, but I don't know. I couldn't write fast enough.
I know it's certainly not new. It goes back, if I'm not mistaken, decades.
It blows my mind that a piece of paper can have free speech.
Well,
I mean, that's what a corporation is, isn't it?
It is. It is indeed.
Son of a gun.
It doesn't have a soul. It can't go to heaven or hell. It's, you know, just a piece of paper.
The other thing I heard today, in reference to the additional killings that are going on in Iraq.
Yeah.
They quoted W saying a while back, excuse me, but my cat is being a pain in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
Your enemy is not surrounding your country. Your enemy is ruling your country.
Right.
Well, you know, they took that with their leaflets and whatnot and decided to start killing the people that are there supposedly running what is their country.
Yeah.
And so the Brits and the Americans are continued to being killed.
Sure. Well, you know, that could apply to our country, too.
Honestly.
The enemy is not surrounding our country. The enemy is running our country.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And for your previous caller from DeKalb, I would recommend that he pick up a book called The People's History of the United States by Howard Zinn.
Yeah, that covers so-called affirmative action in the way I was trying to present it.
Indeed. I mean, it's been going on for 500 years. About time we changed a few things.
I hear that. Marge, thanks. Get well.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Appreciate your call.
Hey, Mom, here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Cannon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-day sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. I understand that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens have been listening to that Mike Malloy person pollute this great nation's airwaves for 3 hours every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Surely you can find a more productive use of your evening hours, like organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly in your victory garden. Or you could spend the 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flag on your house, apartment, or trailer, or whatever you little people live in. I'm told some Chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time when they feel the unnatural and un-American temptation to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm certain in time you'll find the method that works best for you and your family. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Don't forget, our webmaster, Mark Marshall, is going to post the interview with Kucinich at MikeMalloy.com. It should be up in about an hour or so. Not that you have to stay up, just check it tomorrow. It'll be on the main page. When Mark says main page, what does he mean, Kathy? He means the front page, the home page. When you go to MikeMalloy.com, boom. It'll tell you where to go? Okay. All right. So you'll be able to get that downloaded if you like. Also, it will be in context of the program. It'll be on WhiteRoseSociety.org by tomorrow. But if you just want the interview, it'll be there. Nadine is calling from Honolulu, our bureau chief out there. Hey, Nadine, we got about a minute and a half, dear.
Yes, I'm going to make it fast. The story on weapons of mass destruction that was put out today.
Yeah.
First off, did not lead the three national network news. And second of all, it's not getting any traction.
Well, I hope not. You're talking about that little device that they said they found, a centrifuge, I believe.
Yes, and then they expanded it to castor seeds and things like that. Yes, that one. The robe is playing games.
Yeah.
But it's not getting any traction.
Well, that's good. I happened to look at the monitor here in the studio when the whitest white man in television came on. That would be Lou Dobbs on CNN's Moneyline. And that was the story I think he led with. And it was just like, oh, I've got this very important. Oh, guess what? I just don't like Lou Dobbs.
Here's an important point, Mike.
What?
Fox did not break it.
Fox didn't?
No.
Well, then it must not be true, right? It must not have any value to bolster George W. Bush's lies. So
no, this is desperation. Something is cooking in D.C.
Well, good. I hope it is. I hope it's cooking in a pressure cooker. You remember pressure cookers?
Yes.
And I hope somebody forgets to release a little top, and it just blows and blows and blows.
Exactly.
Nadine, thanks for checking in.
You're welcome.
All right. You have a nice evening. I think that's it. If you're on hold, I just there's not enough time. There's not enough time left to take your call. So what have we got? Anything good for the last two nights this week? Anything good coming? Open your mic. Go ahead. Anything good coming up?
All I've got coming up, and it's probably not going to be ready until next week, is my little goodbye tribute to Ari Fleischer. But well, I want to save it for closer to his actual departure date, which is mid-July.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to that. A program engineered in Detroit tonight by Charlotte Jones, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Vittman announces for us. Again, thanks to Mark Marshall of MaximumInteractive.com for the website and all this work there. Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, always, always a thank you to Jim in Arkansas. I'll see you tomorrow night. I hope. I really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. The Country Music Association will likely pay tribute to Johnny Cash at their annual awards ceremony in November. Cash died this morning at a Nashville hospital from complications from diabetes. He was 71. CMA Executive Director Ed Benson says the Man in Black brought a larger audience to the CMA Awards broadcast when he hosted the show in the 1960s.
I don't think the CMA Awards would be where they are in terms of prestige as an event today had it not been for Johnny Cash. So certainly it'll be fitting for us to do some kind of recognition in the show on November 5th.
Cash is nominated for 4 CMA Awards this year. He set a record in 1969 by winning 5 awards in a single night. That record has been matched several times, but never broken.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of 3 herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally